Father, we give you all the praise. And indeed, we worship you from a grateful heart. You are the ever faithful, the only true God. We give you all the glory. Thank you for your ever abiding presence. Thank you for the word that comes to us. And we receive it with joy and we mix it with faith. Thank you indeed that your word will walk in our midst. Will not be the same again. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. The School of Miracles. And as if and what God will do, he started doing even where we were praying. Hallelujah. And first off, miracles. Miracle is not limited to sickness. Amen. Hallelujah. But most of the time in the Bible, the miracle is related to sickness. Hallelujah. So when miracles happen, more often than not, it will be about somebody being healed and all that. And most people will not remember that it was a miracle that the Red Sea parted before the Israelites at the time that he did. Amen. You know, many people, people are very funny and they argue over everything. They know more than God. Say, so how come the deep, the sea is very deep? How come he parted? Hallelujah. How did it become dry? Amen. That's why it's a miracle. Because it beats human understanding. Amen. But there's nothing before God that is impossible. And there's nothing before him that there's nothing that can he cannot alter his process because he's God. Amen. In the Bible, according to Hebrews chapter 1, and I read from verse 1. I read verses 1 and 2. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. I will take that again. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, from whom also he made the worlds. Hallelujah. Amen. So if we will refer, just like Romans 15 verse 4 refers us, it tells us that all these things that were written before, they were written for our learning. So that before is the one that Hebrews 1:1 is referring to here, and it talks about the fact that God in time past, okay, and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days, hallelujah. So the things that were written before, that were written for our learning, okay, the demarcation is that we are in a different dispensation, which is in the last days. Amen. So in the last days, we talk about Christ. Amen. We talk about the coming of Christ. We talk about the death of Christ. We talk about the resurrection and then life that the resurrection brings. So that demarcation is there. So in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Hallelujah. So everything that will come to you or that should come to you, that you should absorb, should be the things that you see come out of Christ. In Matthew 15, in Matthew chapter 15, it talks about, I think that should be verse 9. Yeah, verse 9. No, but let me read from verse 8. It says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Amen. My emphasis is on teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son, Jesus. So in this time, we are not supposed to be hanging on to the commandments of men. Hallelujah. When you see man teach us doctrine, his commandment, or anybody comes and gives you a doctrine, you have to take it side by side with the examples that Christ has given to us. And that's why he spends so much time on this side of the divide. So much time. And then he spent a lot of time relating with men. And then when he started his ministry, 3.5 years were recorded for his ministry. But it's, I mean, record says about 33 years, that's what he spent. Amen. So that when you begin to look at every aspect of his life, you will see it's a very, very wide demarcation from the commandments of men. But man, in his usual way and manner, always marks things to make it look like it's from God. Hallelujah. And that's why God gave us the scriptures, the book to refer to. Whether you are reading the NKJV or you are reading a new translation, it's the word of God. And it was given by God, inspiration of the Spirit to men. And then they wrote it. Hallelujah. And miracles happen. If you look at Christ and if you look at what Christ did, the Bible says that he restored us back to the original plan of God. Hallelujah. And in the original plan of God, if you look at the short time that Adam and Eve were spent in the garden, they had no lack, there was no negativity in their midst. It wasn't recorded. It wasn't that they were sick, not that they lacked food, not that they didn't even understand what it was that they needed to wear clothes. Hallelujah. Okay? Because that was the kind of environment that God had placed them in, an environment where all their sufficiency was in God. And if there will be miracles, it will be that all your sufficiency is in God. So all the entirety of your being, and man, don't forget, is made up of the body, the soul, and the spirit. All the entirety of that being that you call yourself is sufficiency is in Christ. If any other thing outside of Christ, it does not align with what Hebrews 1 verses 1 and 2 talks about. It says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Amen. Hallelujah. And as I was ruminating and I was thinking, I said, oftentimes, never get carried away or never do what you think people expect. Okay? When it comes to the things of God. Because if you decide to go and please people, you will miss God. Amen. That's all. I mean, Saul, when he went to war and God told him to destroy everything that has breath, everything, he came back with some spoils and the king of the land, hallelujah. And then when Samuel came and was rebuking him, he told Samuel that, look, just cover up for me, okay, so that these people will still have that iota of respect for me as king. And that's when you do things to please men as against pleasing God. So to him, capturing that king alive and going back to Israel was like everybody would see him as a very tough man. Okay, just my own. It's not written in the Bible like that. But that's how I see it. That, oh, he would have been like, he caught him alive. You know, it's difficult to catch someone alive. It's easier to kill someone from afar than to catch him alive. If you know what I'm saying. And usually, most of the time, when someone is difficult to get, they tell you that they should take him down at all costs. That means they don't mind. Just take him down at all costs. Okay. So I said, pleasing men will make you miss what God has in plan or what God has in store. Okay. And it's very important that you please God. You give that priority to God. So God will move. God will do what only he alone can do. Okay. Only if we obey him. Book of Job. Let's go to Job chapter 1. going to take it from verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that is, this man was the greatest of all the people of the earth. Amen. Let's jump to verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side?" Amen. "Have you not blessed the work of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land?" Hallelujah. So the Bible starts with the introduction of Job. And in verse 3, it ends with the fact that he was the greatest of all the people of the East. Okay? So he was blameless, he was upright, and he feared, he said, one who was blameless, upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. So that to him, man Job, his main priority was God. So, and if you read that story again, you see there that it talked about the fact that he was offering sacrifices just in case his children had done evil in the sight of God. So everything about him was God. He was subjugating himself with everything about God. And the Bible says he feared God and he shunned all evil. Hallelujah. You know, the things that many people are used to shunning is people they don't like. Hallelujah. So it's easy for anybody now to say that he shunned this person. Why? Why did he shun the person? Because you don't like him, or you don't like his manner, his attitude, or his mannerism, and it's easy for you to shun. Okay? The same way, Job made it a practical point of duty to shun evil, and that is the fear of God. Hallelujah. And then the Bible records that God now bragged about him and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Okay? From verse 8, he says, then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil?" Now, God was referring to Job in terms of his relationship to God. Okay? So God said, "He's the greatest in the land." So God said, "There is none like him on the earth." That's what God said. Hallelujah. Verse 3 is the one that talked about the fact that he was the greatest man in the East. Okay? Now God said, "There is none like him on the earth." Why would God say there's none like him on the earth? Because it is recorded that Job shunned all evil and feared God. In that particular verse, God was not talking about Job in terms of his possessions. God was talking about Job in terms of relative to God. That's what God was saying. Hallelujah. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns no evil?" That's what God is saying. He says, look at it too, that there is none like him on the earth. Comma. Why? He's a blameless and upright man. Comma. And then one who fears God and shows evil. Full stop. Hallelujah. So God is not going to brag about you about the things you have. He's not going to refer to you about the things that you possess. He's going to refer to you and deal with you relate about the way you relate with him. You see, I know we used to sing one song, draw us nearer to your mercy seat. And then I looked at that song and said, there's no way God is going to draw you nearer to him than he has done already. When God was going to do the sacrifice, when he was going to offer sacrifice, he gave his only begotten son. That's the nearest that he can bring anybody to him. So if you sit down and keep singing, draw me near to you, you are the one that's supposed to move from your position to where God wants you to be. Because already, he has shifted his ground, he has made that sacrifice, and that sacrifice is available. And all you need to do is to step in. Hallelujah. So if anybody is drawing, you are the one that is drawing. And then in the case of Job, he says here that there is none on the earth like him. Amen. And what would this devil say? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Job chapter 2. So after the devil stripped him of all that he had, okay, then Job chapter 2. And if you just read the remaining part, because I'm running out of time, so I don't want us to take so much. But after the devil had gone, and then he started attacking everything that he had. So that list that we were given in the first three chapter verses of Job chapter 1, the devil started attacking everything. And then in chapter 2, verse 3, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. Amen. In chapter 1, after verse 8, those verses after 8, I think 9 and 10, the devil was saying, look, this guy fears you because of the things that you have done for him. Right? And he said, if you have done so much for him, why wouldn't he fear you? So, I said, okay, whatever you think, go, but don't touch this person. And then he started taking things away from him one by one. All right? According to the story. Job eventually said, naked I came into this world, and naked I go. And then God caught Satan's attention again and said, come here. Have you considered, the same thing he told him in chapter 1. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Okay? A blameless and upright man. There is none like him on the earth. Meaning that the first assumption of the devil, that it was because of the things that Job had, that he was worshiping God, it was null and void and of no effect. And why? Because Job stood his ground to prove that he understood the God that he was serving. So if those things were being taken away one by one, and then Job turned his back on God, and that's why the book of James talks about the fact that Job made us see the end that God intended. If when those things, that trying time came, and then he turned his back on God, and then just messed up, God would not have been able to go back to say the same thing that he said when he had so much possession. Meaning that those possessions were nothing to Job. What was keeping Job ticking was that he had a relationship with God. Amen. So the sufficiency, so to say, that Satan thought that, look, is this sufficiency that he's relying upon, is actually the reverse. Amen. Those things came from, those things stemmed from the fact that Job feared God, okay, and shunned all evil. And when you walk with God, and when you fear God, when you walk with God and you fear God, you are, it's as though you are restored to the beginning, just like man was meant to be. And that was why he looked at everything. He said he was the greatest man in the whole of the East. And God said there's none like him. None like him in the sense that he was, he had that integrity of worshiping God and serving God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going somewhere. Psalm 91. If you have deep understanding, or if you are able to reflect very well, or no, not very well, if you are able to reflect deeply, and you begin to open the leaves of your life, okay? You know, when we were in secondary school or primary school, we used to buy exercise book. If you're in primary one, primary two, they buy you 40 leaves. It's these days that everybody's taking 80 leaves. Hallelujah. Yeah. But assume that every day of life is like a leaf of an exercise book. So you are able to open every day of your life and begin to go over it up till now, and you look at it deeply, you will see what God has done. So in, what did I say we should open now? Psalm 91. And I'm going to read from verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And then he continues to talk about, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000, but shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. It says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In his hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Let's pause there. It says that because you have made the Lord, verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Verse 1 says, the man that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And if you fear God, just like Job did, you are automatically dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. Because even the devil recognizes it. Okay? He said in verse Job chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10, he said, you have built an edge around him. So if you have built an edge around him, I know, he says, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. That the devil truly recognizes that is an add-on for any man that fears God. So if the devil can recognize that, look, if anybody fears God, then on every side is protected. His household is protected. And then himself, there's an edge around him. Why can't we also just recognize that these things are add-ons? The things we have, they're add-ons. The things we have are as a result of how much or how well we have clung unto God. Now, God is not dealing in the physical realm. Let's not kid ourselves. So when you begin to look at the things you have, if you begin to count Naira, when you change from Nigeria to UK, you'll be counting pounds. Abi, that's what you'll be doing. If that God was really involved, interested in all that, then all this currency, then you want to go and be living elsewhere. Say, this is what is important, this currency. Now, the things that are important to God is your well-being. Hallelujah. He says, no evil shall come near your dwelling. Okay? And yeah, it says, 91 verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. God is concerned about the very core of your being. Amen. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Okay? But God is concerned about the core of your being. Now, the core of your being does not need Naira notes. Hallelujah. Neither does it need food. Amen. Because the core of your being is your spirit. And so when God came calling so that he could solve the problem that we found ourselves in by virtue of Adam and Eve, God didn't come calling the body. Neither did he come calling for the soul. He came for that part of you that belongs to him. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, let us make man in our image and likeness. And then he breathed, okay? He formed him out of dust, and then he breathed into that that he formed, and then he says, man became a living soul. So man was born of a spirit. Hallelujah. And that's why it's only the spirit that can sustain man. Don't forget Proverbs. How many weeks ago? We're looking at Proverbs. I can't remember now. That it talked about the fact that a broken spirit would can bear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that's what holds everything together. So the error in that most people do is that we always think that it's this physical body and this mind that holds the spirit. And that's why we are so concerned, okay, in quote, about the things we will eat, about the things we will put on, hallelujah, about everything that has to do with the outside and neglecting what the spirit needs. Amen. And that's why to many, okay, when they see somebody that's feeding the spirit, they'll think that the person is foolish. Not knowing that it's the other way around. Hallelujah. Because if you don't know the foundation of anything or the rudiments of anything, there's going to be a problem with you appreciating that thing. Okay? So if you see somebody that is spiritual and does a lot of spiritual exercise wholeheartedly, is praying and is adhering to the things that God has asked him to adhere to, that person is not seeking all these add-ons that we read about with Job. Hallelujah. He's not seeking about his household. He's not talking about his children. He's not bothered about where he is per time. He just wants to see that he's keeping to what God has asked him to keep to. And Job will shun evil because to God, evil is an abomination. And the only time that the Bible records that Christ said, why have thou forsaken me? Was at the time when he was carrying the sin of the world. All our sins, he was carrying it on his shoulder, on the cross. And God had to turn his back because God cannot behold sin. Amen. And don't forget that when sin creeps in, that's when different things begin to happen. Hallelujah. We looked at the story of David the other day. Okay? From one sin to another, just to cover up. Hallelujah. Amen. If you shun evil, you will stay in an area where you are walking hand in hand with God. It's pretty straightforward. So for Job, he was living in Eden, in a spirit. And God said, no evil shall come near his dwelling, and everything about him will be fine. And then the devil thought that if he took out all those things, the guy will crumble. Okay? And then he decided to take care of his body, and take his body as well. And then he hit him with sores. Right? If that body had been so critical, or if it had been the body that was sustaining the spirit, Job would have crumbled. Amen. Have you had chicken pox before? Chicken pox. That's the worst I've heard. I've not had measles before or smallpox. But some will have had smallpox. But that chicken pox thing is so bad that you'll be itching all over. And then there was high temperature. I can't even remember it again because I had it when I was like 7, 8. But I remember when one of the children had it. The only thing that gave me courage to go near that child was that because in my mind, I understood what Rebbe was explaining to us about vaccine when she was praying. That once you take vaccine, okay, that disease that you have taken vaccine is not supposed to affect you. You are immune. Okay? Now, I had it around when I was about 7 years old, and then this thing was happening when I was about 30 years later. But in my mind, I have that at the back of my mind that, no, I've had it before. And what they said, they did tell me that there was time limit. So when the child had chicken pox, I was able to carry, put him on my chest, pet him, rub and all that, do all manner of things that nobody else that had not had it before would dare. But psychologically, sometimes I do like this. I said, no. Job was living in the garden internally. Your internal environment, very critical. If you will see miracles, it has to be from your internal environment. That is your spirit being. Not from without. And not from your mind. See, this thing I'm saying, somebody will be like, what's this guy saying? All these people, they just like making mouth. That's how the mind works. Now you'll be missing. You'll be missing because your mind is drifting. Okay? That's what happens. Look, when we were having prayer yesterday, I was busy, but it was 8 o'clock. So a lot of distraction during the day. I was supposed to just, in quote, just be faffing, just at home, cross my leg, do whatever I want to do. If I want to read the Bible, I read the Bible. And then suddenly around midday, they just changed my routine. And that was like that from that midday till that time we were going to pray. But the beauty of it was that everything I did before that time that I would be disturbed, I'd done what was important. So when you now said, Pastor M.Y., I was tempted to say, let's just share the grace. It was the easiest way to close any meeting. Say, you know, just say, do you have anything to say? No, okay, let's share the grace. But then I had a nudge in my spirit. And believe you me, if you tell me everything I said yesterday, I should tell you. I can't tell you. Because it was a nudge. I said, tell them this. It's only the people around me at that point in time that understand this thing very well. Because they knew the state I was in. I'm saying that when your internal environment has the right acidity or alkalinity level, so it's neutral, or has the right level, you will be able to control the mind and you'll be able to manage the body. Never you rely on the body to manage the spirit. If it had been so, we would not be reading the story of Job today. Hallelujah. If you look at Job chapter 42, when Job was going to be restored, let me look for it. I think it's verse 8. Let me look for it. Job was still in that state of soreness. And then No, when God told him to pray for his friends. I think it's either 10 or 11, I can't remember. But it's his last chapter anyway. Give me verse 9. So, Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Stay there. He said, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. So even when his external environment and his mind was, in quotes, out of place, that's when God restored him. What was he doing? He was carrying out the will of God. He prayed for his friends. While he was praying for his friends, all his losses were restored. And guess what? You cannot restore how many fools? Twice. How many boys did they say in chapter 1? You cannot restore them. No. Abi? You can't restore children now. He said he had how many boys? I think seven. And how many girls? 3 daughters. So he couldn't have had 20 at this point. Because somebody will come and say, he restored everything twice. What happened was that there was a change. The internal environment started affecting the external. Hallelujah. And things gradually started coming back to place. Hallelujah. It was the same way. Those things that we read in chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, were gathered in the first instance. Because the internal environment, because of the fear of God, his internal environment was aligned to God. And when I'm saying internal environment, it's just the spirit. Amen. The spirit. You know, we say, at the center of it all, is you that I see. If you don't look on the inside and you can see God, you can't see God anywhere else. So when he says, and when he prayed for his head, indeed Lord gave Job, the Lord restored those losses. And the Lord decided that finally, this is enough. And he started bringing back everything one after the other. Telling you that everything that you lay hold of, comes from your spirit. If you think what you have is what determines how well you worship God, you are in trouble. Because you don't have anything. It's that thing that has you. Amen. That's not to say, okay, let me go. All these things I've said now, my lesson, my notes have scattered now. Proverbs 9, 10 to 11. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days were multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12 talks about the fact that wisdom. Okay, so what I read first was Proverbs 9, 10 to 11. Let me read that again. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Okay? Now, Ecclesiastes 7. Verse 12 says that for wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Amen. So Proverbs 9, 10 tells us that the fear of the Lord, I don't have board, Amaka. Fear. Are you seeing what I'm writing? Fear of the Lord. Okay? Is equal to beginning of wisdom. Now, Ecclesiastes 7:12 says that wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. Meaning that Fear of the Lord is equal to beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is equal to defense. Fear of the Lord, therefore, is defense. Are you getting what I'm saying? If fear of the Lord brings about wisdom, and then you decide to live in the fear of the Lord, you have done yourself a great deal of favor. Psalm 91, you won't need to be putting Psalm 91 under your Bible, under your head when you are sleeping. Because now it says in Ecclesiastes 7 that wisdom is a defense. And what does Psalm 91 tell us? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Hallelujah. So if you dare to fear him, amen, you have wisdom that is a defense. Amen. So all of the Psalms, all of this Psalm 91 is embedded in fear of God and is embedded in wisdom. Why? Because that wisdom is a defense. It's just as money is a defense. You know how money is a defense? When you are sick, when you have problems and you need to go to the hospital, the first thing you think about is that, which hospital will I go to? Now, when you are thinking of which hospital to go to, you look at, okay, what's the condition? I need to see this one, I need to see this one. Okay, this hospital is better, this one. Then you begin to say, this one is expensive. This one is not expensive. Then money comes in, right? In that case, money is a defense. Some people just go, they will go to the most expensive hospital straight away. Say, don't worry. They say, how much is it? Don't worry. Whatever they say, I can afford to pay it. Money is a defense, right? If you are doing, like that time I told you I went to Ibadan, I carried all the vouchers that I had in my pocket, and I told everybody, just pick whatever you want. It's because there was money, or what I can convert to money, and exchange for those goods. And so when everybody was done, I just gave it, and everyone walked out. It's a defense, in the extent that it allows me to get whatever I want to get. Amen. Wisdom gives you access to whatever you require of the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 9 says, the fear of God is the beginning. Please keep that one in your left hand. My people say, you put it in your left hand so that you won't eat with it. But people like Temilolu, they're in trouble because he's left-handed. So if he keeps it in his left hand, what happens? My people say that when you have any word of wisdom, you keep it in your left hand so that you don't eat with it. Because everybody eats with the right. Now, I see people like Temilolu that are left-handed. If they keep it in the left hand, they will. So that one will keep it on the right. So it is relative, Abby. So Proverbs 9 talks about wisdom. Then the other one talks about defense. Now let's look at this. Proverbs 14. I'm reading from verse 26 and verse 27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 7:12 says that wisdom is a defense, just like money is a defense. This one, Proverbs 14 says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Hallelujah. And his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To turn one away from the snares of death. Hallelujah. I don't know how many hands you have. You keep Proverbs 9, you keep Ecclesiastes 7, and then you keep Proverbs 14, 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Proverbs 14, 27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And then, because of that, it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ became for us wisdom from God. Hallelujah. And then if you read that carefully, you see that it says Christ became for us strong confidence from God. Why? Because we've read it in Proverbs 14. Okay? It's the fountain of life. We've read it in Proverbs 9. Okay? That the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And we've read in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12 that wisdom is defense. Now he says that Jesus Christ, he became for us wisdom from God. Hallelujah. So in him, you have confidence, strong confidence. Hallelujah. In him, there's defense. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in him, all things consist. Just as we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son, Jesus Christ, whom he made heir of all things. Even, and then not all the worlds were formed by him. Hallelujah. Amen. You cannot tell all these stories and not end up with Christ in the middle of it. If you go to Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 2. It says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. In whom is it hidden? Christ. In Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that's why he says that nobody can go to God except through him. You know, when you're going to go to God, it's God Almighty. Hallelujah. You are going to be timid. You know, even if I tell you now that we are going to go and see, if I tell somebody that we are going to see local government chairman, they'll be shaking, that we want to go and see local government. If you want to see state governor, they'll be shaking. Now, I now tell them you want to go and see President of the United States. Say, ah, me. Then when we get to White House, you will not be able to step in because it's unfair and troubling. Huh? It says here that in him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that's why with Christ, we can approach that throne of grace. Hallelujah. Because he gives us that confidence. Why does he give us so much confidence? God has said, this is my beloved son. In whom I'm well pleased. And then he had made that sacrifice. Okay? And he has given us access to the Father. You cannot have that confidence to approach him except you have Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you getting me? You have that confidence. And that's why I was saying last week that when you make a mistake, that's when you should look for God, not when you should run away from God. So when you make a mistake and you fall out, you come do something wrong, and then you think that, oh, I am going to hide away from God. No. You have Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this wisdom, we have broken it down, that this wisdom is a defense. This wisdom gives you strong confidence. Hallelujah. And then you are going to put on that strong confidence and be bold enough to go admit that you have done wrong and then retrace your steps. The confidence he gives us is to be able to approach that throne and be able to speak with our Father. Amen. Let me continue to read. And it says that, what verse is that? Verse 3. Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He says, now I say, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Remember Matthew 15, verse 9 that we read. He said you should not follow the doctrines, those that make doctrines, the commandments of men. Hallelujah. And he's telling us that Christ is the is in him is hidden the wisdom and the treasures of God, right? And it's he himself is saying, I'm saying this so that you will not be deceived. Amen. Okay? And then he says, and in vain they worship. Okay, that's Matthew. Let's go back to Colossians. It says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I think we passed there. It says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Okay? For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you where? In spirit. We go back. He's addressing the origin. He's addressing that which he can relate with. See, God is spirit. And those that worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if anything will happen to you, it must come from the inside out. Hallelujah. Same way Christ was telling you that nothing defies you except it comes from outside, from inside of you, out. Because it speaks volumes of the things that you have on inside of you. And then it says that, for though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit. So let any man not be deceived. Okay? That except he keeps his body, I don't know, so that I don't make a mistake. That your worshiping God is not from the outside. He says, though I'm absent in the flesh, though you cannot see me, I am there in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Everything that you get is because your spirit finds synergy with God's spirit. Hallelujah. And they become one. So if you think that you are not seeing things, then you go back to the spirit or your inside and begin to dissect and dissect your ways again and say, where am I not getting it right? Hallelujah. Nothing happens from the outside in. Amen. Nothing happens from the outside in. If you see something now, it does not become your own. Abi? If you desire something, it doesn't make it your own. What becomes your own is what you actually work for or you produce from within you. Intellectual property, very important. If we will see miracles on a daily basis, hallelujah, it will be that we are meeting with God. He says, though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit. Why is he with you in the spirit? So that he will see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. If you will see miracles, then you have to be steadfast in Christ. Hallelujah. That faith that we also say that we have in Christ, we have to be steadfast. And if you want steadfastness, then go and read the book of Job. Steadfastness in God, then you go and read the book of Job. Because all that he laid emphasis on had nothing to do with anything that he had, except that he understood that this is the magnitude of God. And that reminds me that he understood that everything about God, praising God, was about the excellence, greatness of God. Hallelujah. So he sat down and he will look and he will be able to fathom how great God is and be like, wow, there's no other person to praise except him. Hallelujah. You know, I sat down, it wasn't 2 days ago, I was just smiling. I don't even know how the thought came. How on earth? You know, okay, I was thinking about test tube babies. You know that you can form a baby in test tube. Abi? You don't know. Okay, you see me after. So medicine can form babies outside women, right? So they take the egg and the spermatozoa and put them in whatever, and you can see actually the zygote begin to form. I was just imagining, I said, you can't beat God. Because even them, where did they go? They went back to the source where God had put the egg and where God had put the sperm. and then they put them together. They cannot dare create a baby. It had to be from the very essence that God had made it to be. From the beginning. And so they will grow that baby there, and after some weeks, then they will put it inside any woman that needs help. You know, usually it's for people that need help. And then the babies begin to grow and grow and grow, and they will keep watching, because they have altered his course, so they will keep a close eye on it. That's what God freely gives you and I. Amen. Your internal environment determines the miracles that you see. Men will call it miracles, but you are just like Job. You are oblivious of them. They are there, but you are not so concerned. Even when he had everything, Job will offer sacrifices on behalf of his children. That's what whatever miracles comes your way, because of your strict adherence to God, is not what's important to you. What will be important to you is to keep that line channel of grace open and that channel of blessing open. And that channel is open not because you want to accrue more things, but because you understand that without him, there cannot be your existence. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. The fear and the wisdom of God, the Bible says, that's Christ. So if Job feared God, he was living, and that's why Job could fear God. He had wisdom enough because he feared God. And he could see what God will do. Hallelujah. It was evident in his life. Let us thank God this evening. Let's talk to God this evening. I don't know what we came with, but what is important is not about the treasures on this earth, but are the treasures in wisdom and the treasures in the knowledge of God. And our path, our relationship, keeping our relationship with God is what should be important to us. Let's just talk to him. Let's thank him. Because we begin to understand now that it's from the worship and it's from the way our spirit is cultivated to walk with God that is important. That's what sustains what we have. That's what brings about more. And that's what creates an atmosphere of miracles around us. It's not about the songs. Hallelujah. It's about your understanding and your adherence to God in the spirit. He says he's watching so that he will see your steadfastness of faith in Christ. That's what brings miracles. And these things that we're going after are not supposed to be the object and focus of our life. The object and focus should be God himself. Let's talk to him. Let's worship him. The bros can't lead the bros, he can't lead the bros. Mandas kata liga de broska pradi bose pradis kata liga e kam blosa e katinga la seke kanka bose delia. But once we change our focus, then there will be miracles everywhere. Mrenglas kata bose keya. Then we live in Eden, right on earth. Hallelujah. Limblotans kata liga de broske talinda da basakaria. Mando seke de bras kata liga bose keya. E kabos kata liga da basake bose delia. Lingla toka kabose te liga skatalia, manka skatali buske te dinda rabasakaya. Us worshiping. Get your internal environment. Be saturated with God. Rekabos, lembroska kalingla dose te diskandalita, manka sete liga rabasata liga sataya. Thank you. Think about God, the ever faithful God, the only wise God, the Kambas Katanda de Bose de Diga, the one that has brought you safe thus far, Eka Blatokan Kaboseya, that is not too difficult for him to do. Mangra Basaria, lift up your hands, Limbra de Babasekaya, and receive from the throne of mercy, Eka Tobra de Basekaya, Manda Bose Kaliga de Basakaria, E San Platobra Discatalidaba. Manka boske de diga da basagaya, matige de guske te bumbra da basegalia, manka skata liga babaska daria, mambros kalabamba la basegalia, eka tanda boske de liga da basagaya, eka tumba skata liga basagaya. Yes, you are the Lord. Most time, yes, you are the Lord. Yes, you are the Lord.
Yes, you are the Lord.
Most high. Yes, you are the Lord.
Yes, you are the Lord.
Most high. Yes, you are the Lord. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Most high. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
we need a touch from God. The power of God is present to heal. Let's place your hand on your chest. Let's place your hand on your chest and think of His goodness. Let's worship God in your own way, where you are. Come down. Let's worship Him. Put your hand on your chest. Worship Him from within. It's not about me, it's about you and God. Breath of the living God is moving.
Breath of the living God, pour fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, pour fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Let's worship Him. Spirit of God is filling you. He's going to shape you. Rebos kanta lida, bros kanta lida. He can bos kanta kadi santa lida bros kada. He yan santa linga kabos kanta lida. Is kanta lida brasinga dis kada.
Father,
we give you praise. Lord, we worship you. We thank you. Thank you for every hand that is lifted. Thank you because your power, your anointing from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Thank you because that burning desire, leproska kaliga, it consumes everything that is against your word in your life in Jesus' name. Thank you for every fiber of their being. Rinka boska taliga. Response to your word. It's a sacrifice that you have made. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, even as we worship and as we say to you that you are the only God, even from the inside. Thank you because you take over every fiber of your being responding to your word, Lord. There shall be no disease in our midst in Jesus' name. Just lift your hands and worship Him. Thank you, Lord. I feel the backache is healed right now. If you have a back pain, just check it. Limblo tanga liga bosedaya. Edebo sanka linga tebrosedaya. E camblo sata linga rabasadaya. Mansaka basa. Mangrados. Edebos. Edebo makanda brosedaya.
See your Baba.